studied the captain's face for a moment. The younger woman looked as if she expected to get reamed out by the colonel. "Give me the latest you've got, then," Christopher said mildly, "and update me as soon as you get more data." "Yes'm." The captain looked distinctly relieved. Major Kaufman took out a large red-and-white checked handkerchief and snuffled into it. "Looks like he swiped it from an Italian restaurant," Christopher thought. Kaufman mumbled an excuse and headed for the men's room. Colonel Christopher decided not to wait for him and left the control center together with Lieutenant Charman, he tall and gangly, she petite and graceful, both in Air Force flight suits, plastic helmets cradled in their arms. As they headed out toward the flight line, Christopher thought, this could be an interesting flight. Interesting was a term she reserved, like other flyers, for situations that were either hairy or downright terrifying. Out on the flight line, it was gray and raw. The wet wind gusting in off the water sliced right through Harry's goose-down coat. It made his back ache sullenly. He squinted up at the clouds, low and dark, thick with moisture. A low gray bank of fog blanketed the far side of the airfield. He couldn't even see the end of the runway. Harry wondered if they'd have enough visibility to get the plane off the ground. Nothing seemed to be moving out on the flight line. No planes were taking off. Everything was as quiet as a tomb except for the low moan of the wind. "We moved to California to get away from this kind of miserable weather," Harry thought as he trudged out toward the Able One plane. "Had enough dark, cold winters in New England. It's dry in California. Even when it rains, it's never bleak and nasty like this. When we wanted snow, we drove up into the mountains." Harry remembered teaching his two daughters to ski. They loved the snow. Why not, he asked himself. They never had to shovel the stuff off a driveway. Wonder what they're doing now. Probably taking a dip in the pool. Sylvia liked to swim. She spent more time in that damned pool than she did in bed with me. And after the accident... He reached the plane. The huge 747-400F loomed above Harry like a giant aluminum iceberg. He stopped at the foot of the narrow ladder that led into the plane's innards and tried his cell phone again. Victor Anson had made it painfully clear that he wanted to be called each time Harry and his crew flew a mission. But the damned phone was still on the fritz. Harry scowled at it. "Modern technology at its finest," he grumbled silently. "It can perform 19 dozen different functions, and none of them are working." The flight crew was climbing aboard up front by the plane's bulbous nose. He saw the new pilot and a tall, lean black lieutenant with her. "They ride first class," Harry thought. "We ride coach in the back of the plane." He shrugged. He'd met the new pilot only briefly the night before when she'd introduced herself to his team. She was good-looking, that was true. Rosenberg had barely kept his eyes in his head. Delaney and the rest of the Anson team trudged across the tarmac and started climbing the stairs and entering the plane. Wally Rosenberg, last in line, noticed Harry trying to work his phone and cast him a snide grin. "Calling on you, fly girl?" "Fuck you," Harry thought. Aloud, he answered, "Phoning the boss." "Levy? He's probably on coffee break. It's 2 hours earlier back in sunny California." "Not Jake. Anson." Rosenberg's brows rose. "The big boss? The man whose name is on our coveralls, yeah." "You talk to Anson?" Harry nodded wearily. "He wants to know what we're doing. He's got a lot